Today on Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we're talking about what we hope you learn a lot sooner than we did. Do you really acknowledge and understand what you're capable of doing? Are you guilty of putting your life on hold? Have you learned to stop doing this one thing that you probably do more than you realize? Learn some more life lessons that we hope you've learned by 50 or even sooner as we finish up our month focusing on your future self. Do you control your clutter, or does your clutter control you? On Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we'll teach you awareness as well as action steps to create change in your life. Come on, let's get started. Hey everyone, another rainy day. This is the second half. I did the first podcast, the first episode this month on things I hope you learn by the time you're 50. So here's the second part, just a quick recap that someone had said, hey, let's get together from high school. And then when I followed up, they kind of ghosted me. And my whole thinking was, by 50, you should be able to say no or not offer to hang out with someone if you don't want to. And then shared this on my women's group in the area where I live, over 50, and asked for women their thoughts. And again, this is men, women, anyone can learn this. And so these are the follow-up. And the other thing I want you to think about, this is the last episode for March. So we are now one-third the way through 2020. I want you to check in with yourself. Are you where you want to be? What do you need to course correct? You can still get it done, but you need to be honest and aware. On with the show. Number 11, pamper yourself. I am going to separate this out just a teeny bit from self-care. It is self-care. But I want to talk about the physical. We can talk about more than physical, the pampering. Think about that word, the pampering of yourself, spoiling yourself. And spoiling, I don't even think is the word I want to use here. Pamper is much better, but yeah, spoil could work. But some people might have an issue around that word, like, oh, I can't spoil myself. Because self-care for you could mean a nap. And if you're really willing to look, you can find pampering in every single thing that you do. And that's great. But if you can't, I want you to think about the deliciousness of ways that you can treat yourself. You know, I like Ulta Beauty, where I can not invest a ton of money. I have very sensitive skin. I can try out a couple products, but I like trying different masks on my skin. One of my goals for this year is to do more with essential oils. And so when I run out of bubble bath, I'm making my own bubble bath. To me, a warm bubble bath with a candle and maybe some music, or maybe I want to read a book, that's completely pampering myself. Putting on a luxurious moisturizer and really feeling it and being in the moment is a way to pamper myself. As I mentioned a moment ago, if you never take naps, that is pampering yourself. Maybe pampering yourself means getting someone to come in and clean your house. Even if you do it all the time and you're able to swing it, pamper yourself that way. So really give yourself small luxuries. It doesn't have to be this huge thing. Think of the deliciousness, the pampering that you can give yourself. Number 12, know your capabilities are far greater than you imagined. I continue to discover this about myself. When I was writing the book, all the journal prompts and the Clear Clear Inside book, I included a line about this, and it was very purposeful because it was important for me to share with people as a whole kind of impetus behind it. You know, even if you've never cleared clutter, know that you can do this. And you have the ability, more than you think. And I really wanted to make sure that I mentioned that, because you might have worked with someone on clearing clutter, getting organized, and they told you you didn't have skills, you didn't have abilities. And that's simply not true. I hope that I've mentioned this on the podcast. And if I haven't, I'm telling you right now, you can do more than you realize. And I phrased it a different way in the first part of this, in the first episode of the month. And again, because so many people would like this particular suggestion. And again, I took 21 suggestions from the group. Some are mine, some are others that people really responded to and had, oh yes, oh my gosh, yes, love, love, can't like this enough. I can't tell you the number of things I thought I couldn't do in my life. Public speaking for sure. Books, standing up for myself in a huge way. You know, this whole solar thing really taught me, you know what? I am being true to myself. I can stand up for myself. I can make huge decisions for myself. I'm stronger than I give myself credit for. I'm more capable. Just because I don't know how to do something, that I don't have a certain skill, doesn't mean that I'm dumb. It just means I need to learn something. Or if I can't, like the law, then I reach out to someone who does know, who that is their area of expertise. Don't sell yourself short. We're, as I mentioned a moment ago, we're through the third quarter of 2020. I want to hear about all the exciting things you're doing. I want you focused on whether it's your business goals, your personal life. You can do it. You get that focus going. Know that you have the ability and trust yourself. If it's a skill or you need support, that you'll reach out for the people that can help you. Number 13, don't wait for others to do something you really enjoy. And I also might call this, don't put your life on hold. I think that don't put your life on hold, I would do that. I definitely did that when I was younger. Kind of the carpe diem, hopefully I'm saying that right. How many times have you put yourself on life on hold for another? Maybe you're like, you know what? I want to go back to school, but I've got to put my kids first. Maybe there's a solution to taking online classes or going to night school. How many times have you dimmed your life because you didn't want someone else to feel uncomfortable, or you let someone else do something first because you were afraid? Getting to the why helps you clear it. Now, yes, I know in an ideal world, we can bypass all this and just release whatever's going on. But I don't believe most of us are there yet. And even if we are and have that capability, we can't do it with every single thing. When I was going through this whole solar thing, Cotty's like, what's the bigger picture here? What's going on? I said, oh, I'm glad you asked that. Here are some things that it's definitely relating to. And so I encourage you, just get out there and do it. Don't wait for when you're 10 pounds less, when you are feel like you're good enough to start painting again. I don't care what it is. Just go out and enjoy the activities you do. And this is a time to have a boundary and say, hey, I really need to go take a painting class. And I really believe when there is a will, there's a way. I'll never forget when I was interviewing Peter Walsh, and I was actually mentioned my sister-in-law, and I said, well, you know, she's got, you know, at the time, how have the kids been? Like maybe they were 6, 5, and 3. And that's a lot to have kids that close in age. It's a lot to try to run a business and do things. And he was like, no excuses. And I thought, wow, he's right. I have to agree with him on that. I think I kind of get like, well, I understand where people are coming from. And I'm always saying, you have a choice. You always have a choice. So go do the activities that you desire to do. Don't let anyone hold you back. Number 14, live alone for a while. I really like this one. I would say I agree with it and was happy to see that someone posted it. I lived by myself for a really long time. I did the roommate thing. I learned, dang, I have paid my dues on that one. But it really taught me a lot. I was more capable than I realized, like fixing some things. I'm still not very handy, don't get me wrong, but that if there was a problem, a lot of times I could figure out a solution. And why I, you know, had really probably spent or wasted a little bit too much time really wanting to meet someone, there were times I was able to appreciate being alone. I was talking to my friend Vince, and he said, you know, if I'm a bachelor the rest of my life, I can totally hang with that. I'm good with that. And that is a fantastic space for him or really anyone to be in. But when I looked at the good things, I could make my own rules. If I didn't want to wear makeup, I didn't have to. I could live my life on my terms. I spent time getting to know myself. I found for me, personal growth is always going on, hopefully, but that there are big waves and spurts. Like I did the Clear Sight School, which was a 13-month commitment. And then not too long after that, I ended up moving here. I did, you know, that women's group and thing and worked really intensely for 4 years or whatever it was. And I'm kind of on the lull and getting back in the upswing. But all the work I did, I was able to do when I lived alone. I've got it now. If I'm committing to something, I have to ask, well, does it take me away from my family? How does it affect my marriage? And so when you live by yourself, you have a lot more freedom. Some people are afraid to be alone. Raising hand used to be that. And that can be for different reasons. Maybe because they don't know if they like themselves. And this is a lot more common than you think. They might be afraid of what they discover, and they can't be without aloneness. I know for me, the staying busy was an attempt to keep some stuff buried. And when I did Clear Sight, that was all the work that I did there really allowed that the possibilities to open up and for me to have discovery. But the best way I can put this is it was able to ease me into things, and so my brain wouldn't explode. I think if I had tried to, if I had discovered some things in a different order, I just don't, it might have made me insane. I'm not exaggerating. I might have just had a meltdown. I might have had a nervous breakdown, and I'm being very truthful when I say that. So spend time with yourself. And if you are, I've known women, this is, again, not an exaggeration. I went to an all-women's college, and there were a couple women I was friends with. And one, if she broke up with Joe on Monday, she was dating Jim on Tuesday. And that's the only time I've ever seen that. And again, it is what it is, but that's such a different experience than what I have. But there was no alone time. And you can be married right now in a relationship, living with someone. And if you can't live alone, then carve out that alone time. Don't do everything with your husband or your spouse or your partner. Make sure that you are getting time to honor yourself. Number 15, doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Oh my gosh. I used to spend so much time on this. Oh my gosh, they don't like me. What if they think I'm this? What if they think I'm that? You have to remember, people are expressing their own insecurities. They are expressing their own issues. They might be trying to manipulate you. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. Don't waste time what others think. And I have to tell you, I love some of these kids, young people that I see these article on. And like Greta, is it Thornburg, who won Time Person of the Year, the young climate activist who talk about walking your walk. Wow. And, you know, she's talked about how she has Asperger's, and she's like, I look at the world differently, and that's a gift, and that's how I'm able to see things. I truly believe that. I believe that especially people that have autism, we haven't unlocked or understand all their gifts yet. And so, I mean, I can't imagine. I get pot shots at me doing this podcast and YouTube video. And it's out there, but I'm not out there in a way that Greta is. And all these old men who, all the horrible things that they said, I was just disgusted by that. And you know what? She doesn't care. She just lets it roll off her back, You can tell she is on a mission. She is an eco warrior and she is here to get stuff done. And she's going to do that. She, at a young age, has already figured out, whatever. Whatever, world leaders, say what you want about me. She doesn't care what anyone else thinks. And again, I don't know her. And I would think even if you're human, some things still kind of hurt. But I think she's in a really great space at such a young age. So I'm going to encourage you. Remember, when people are sharing their stuff, it's about them. Bring the focus back to you. Ah, that really hurt me. Oh, maybe that's an opportunity for me to feel. One of the things I think that's really freeing about turning 50 is you just don't care as much. You just really don't. Like when I was going on with this whole solar thing, I'm like, because Tony and I talked about it. He's like, we're going to anger people. And I said, I don't care. I do not care. I said, we've been here how long and haven't met any of these people except for me. They can hate me. We have to stand up for what's right and for ourselves. So let that stuff go. Don't worry about others. You have all the answers you need within. Got Clutter, 365 journal prompts books, supports you in figuring out how to clear your clutter. Get control of your clutter so your clutter doesn't control you. Reclaim time, money, sanity, and resources. Choose from physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, holidays, or compilation volumes 1, 2, and 3. Free MP3 meditation with purchase. Learn more at reawakenyourbrilliance.com or purchase on Amazon. Number 16, stop expecting you from people. I love this. I had to read this one a couple times. I was like, stop. Obviously, I didn't post it. If I had to read it a couple times to understand it, hopefully I'll do it justice for the person who posted. Meaning, give yourself what you desire instead of looking at in other people. If you are expecting someone to stand up for you, stand up for yourself. If you are expecting someone else to love you, love yourself. If you are expecting someone else to write your novel, you sit down and write your novel. You focus on you. You do what you need to do from you and give the gift of not burdening someone else trying to get that from someone else. Give that to yourself. If you want courage, do something that scares you. Again, that's kind of tying in with the earlier lesson of you're a lot stronger than you think, you're a lot stronger than you know, you're more capable than you realize. You really are. And it was like I mentioned about expecting a man or a partner or boyfriend to bring me happiness. I was expecting happiness for me from someone else. Then when I kind of phrase it like that, like, how ridiculous? Seriously? And I spent a lot of my time of my life doing that. So be you, own you, celebrate you, and give you you. Number 17. Stop apologizing for everything. And I wanted to share this. This is the only time that I took a direct quote because I thought it was so powerful. And I thought, wow, I haven't heard this. So the person who wrote that shared, I hear women apologize for knocking into inanimate objects and to people who bump into them. Raising hand, used to do this. You do not have to say you are sorry for how you feel. Your feelings are valid. Why are you apologizing for them? The same thing goes for your thoughts and opinions. I love that. Gosh, is that true? And of course they added, if you've wronged someone, you need to truly apologize it. But I believe, especially for women, we are on apology automatic. automatic auto drive. It's so ingrained in us that we do it. I want you to check out someone that you really admire, that you think's awesome or courageous or whatever word you would use, and watch them. How often do they apologize? Or just sit and observe. See if there's someone at work and they bump into something and they apologize. And I think with some people who come from a place of, I don't know if it's privilege is probably the best word, who just kind of feel that they've been allowed to steamroll through life and are going to continue to do so, kind of expect that from us, right? I'm going to get what's mine and I don't care if I roll over anyone and just get out of my way. And so when you stop apologizing, that kind of makes them, whoa. Be aware of where you're apologizing and take the time to observe others. Because I bet you notice you do it more than you realize. Do I still do this? Absolutely. But I'm much more aware and I do it less. And again, if I have wronged someone, I apologize for it. Like I know that there are some people in my neighborhood expecting an apology. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to apologize for telling the truth and I'm not going to apologize for standing up for myself. And people are angry at me. And what I've learned with this too, part of the anger, I know some things I've learned is because they didn't stand up for themselves. And you know, when you need to have a target, if you can't own your life, if you can't own certain things, then you're going to find that target to express it. So I'm really clear in that. And I have to laugh. I'll just share this. So this kind woman reached out to me behind the scenes and she said, "You have more support than you realize." Because I said, "Oh, everyone in the neighborhood hates us now." She said, "There are a lot of things and what yours is drama light." And I thought, oh my goodness. Anyway, and she said, I said, "Oh, the president talked about how hurt he was." They didn't name, it was very indirect in social media posts, blah, blah, blah. And she said, "Don't worry about his man tears." And I have to admit, I laughed. And I'm not one for male bashing. It drives me nuts when people bash an entire sex, an entire race, whatever, whatever. And then there are times when you just got to laugh. And I'm sorry, the man tears made me laugh because I thought, buddy, I see right through you. You're trying to be the mild-mannered guy, and you are a control and power freak trying to come off as neutral. So anyway, long story of it, I want you to become aware of where you're apologizing and stop it unless you truly need to say you're sorry. Number 18, difficult conversations are always better than not having them. Right? I did a podcast about that last year on having difficult conversations. Do it. You'll feel better. It's true. It might stink, but once they're done, you can move forward. You know, I talk a lot about prior to doing when I had the Reawaken Your Brilliance internet show, and I'd interview people, and from my own personal experience, it takes so much energy when we don't do things and when we store them. Because remember, emotions are energy in motion. They want to move. You want to feel anger, woo, feel anger up and out. Feel sadness up and out. Feel joy up and out. You know, again, it's that constant being present. And so I held on for so long. Oh, I'm afraid, afraid to look at this, afraid. The energy that it took to hold back, be afraid, to not confront my fears, was tremendous. Until I did it, I had no clue. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really working to stand up for myself. I'm like, I don't want to regret it. I want to stand up. If I do that, because if I didn't stand up for myself, I'd be like, well, I shoulda, woulda, coulda's. Why didn't I stand up for myself? Julie, da, 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 da. I encourage you, have those difficult conversations because it's the same thing. Not expressing how you feel, not having the hard conversation, takes a lot more energy than actually having the conversation. And check out that previous podcast if you need some tips. Number 19, go back to your true self that's been buried by society's expectations of you. Oh, so true. How many of us have a mask? From the moment we're born, people are putting their expectations on you. Have you taken them to heart? I shared that a friend was an attorney and didn't want to be an attorney, but those expectations were placed on him since he was a kid. went to law school, practiced law, and finally, in his 30s, said enough. I need to do what's best for me. And it's never too late. Never, ever, ever too late. But he's finally able to release those expectations. Honor your own expectations. Be your own measuring stick. Release what others have to say. You know, I was always a tomboy, very athletic as a kid. That was seen as a bad thing. I wasn't feminine enough. I was told that, you know, that's a bad thing. And then I think of my husband. I have to laugh. I was driving the other day. I think actually he was driving. He's like, "You're a bad driver." And I was like, "What?" And actually it was really funny and we needed a laugh. So it was good. I believe my husband appreciates about me that I don't mind getting dirty. I was like, we had to rake leaves the other day. And I was like, "Oh, honey, I'll help you. I don't want you to have to do this all by yourself." And that I, you know, but for a woman to get dirty, there's still, you just don't do that. That's unfeminine. Let all of that junk go and say, okay, what's mine and what else is someone else's? I'm going to release the junk that's not mine. Number 20, it's okay to fail. Just a lesson on how not to do it, right? No mistakes, they're lessons. And I love the way that this person put it. You've learned something. Behind a lot of successful people are a ton of failures, but they refuse to give up. I still find it amazing that Michael Jordan, and that's kind of after MJ quit, I kind of quit. I used to watch, I love Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and that rivalry and would watch, love the Celtics and watch that. And then MJ with the Bulls. And after I haven't watched pro ball in years. He was cut from his junior high team. The world might not have known the best or one of the best basketball players of all time had he given up. I mean, that's a great perspective for you right there. And there are tons of stories like that. And if you need encouragement, get on Google. You can find anything on Google. I was thinking about this as I was making some notes and I created a course. And I got bad advice on it, on a couple things. And I'm proud of it. It's a good course. But I was like, whatever. Just I can do better. I feel like the books are more me. The courses that I've created, I have done those a little differently. And they're better than that first course. Well, it was a first course mistake. I don't think it's a mistake. I think that it was good. It taught me some things. I had to learn some skills. But I wasn't quite where I wanted it to be. So I stuck with it. Remember that. You just have to keep going. The first time I did the interview, did the internet TV show, Reawaken Your Brilliance, I think maybe we have 40 people tune in, because Amnon, the producer, was able to see the numbers. And he was like, "That's great." And he was like, "You know, I was surprised you got any people." But I kept with it, and it kept growing, and the numbers and people kept showing up, because I didn't give up. I could have walked away after that first episode and been like, I stink at this. Mm-mm. Didn't see that way. Just encouraged me to work harder. And for our bonus number 21, and I love how this was phrased, develop a wisdom practice, right? It doesn't define have a spiritual practice, a mindfulness practice, a religious practice, a wisdom practice. During this really stressful time, I have been rereading Marianne Williamson's Illuminata. And that's a great little book, and it has lots of prayers. And if anyone has, I am looking, please feel free to email me or drop me a line on social media. I really like that. And I really like how in Illuminata she does prayer. And so I'm looking for another one, someone that, like, for instance, she didn't have a prayer on fear. She had a prayer for anger, for forgiveness, and lots of good stuff. Lots and lots of good stuff. But I'd like to find another one because I really realized that I like this. I like this kind of focused prayer. And I just found it when I was incredibly stressed out, it was the one thing I could do that kind of helped me focus, that kind of got me in the spiritual thing. I was falling off the spiritual wagon and was so stressed out. And I thought, okay, What can we do to bring yourself back? So that really helped me. But if I develop a wisdom practice, okay, people being unfair to me is not about me. It's about them. People getting angry at me for telling the truth is not about me. And so when I understand those lessons and I have that wisdom practice and the wisdom to be able to walk away, I want to tell you something. You know, Tony said to me after, I was like, we've got to cancel this. We can't move forward. And he's like, part of me wants to. And I said, I understand. But this is one of those moments where we've learned a lot in life. I feel like we have been told it's not the bad. We don't want to spend our time and energy. We have to trust that there's a bigger reason for this. And I believe that. And already we had the golden nugget. The same day we made the decision to not move forward, something really kind of surprising and wonderful happened. So find a wisdom practice. And, you know, my beloved teacher, Judy, would be like, oh, these are just some tools for your toolbox. What else can you learn? Take what you desire to learn. I am doing an online herbal course as another tool in my toolbox. I want to learn more about this. There's this great course and I signed up for it. I'm very excited. And it just, again, can help with clients. Like Judy's been able to recommend teas and certain things. I want to learn how to make tinctures for my family. That's part of the wisdom. So be open, be aware, draw from multiple things. You know, the Marianne Williamson book, I have spiritual friends who'd be really turned off that she says God. I'm like, it is what it is. That's the way she uses to express it. I get what she's saying. And I want a really good prayer about anger. So take the time to develop a wisdom practice. Take actions from today's podcast. Pamper yourself. Know you can do anything. Seize the moment. Live alone or spend time alone. Release others' opinions. Expect nothing. Stop apologizing. Have the difficult conversation. Own your authentic self. Accept failures as lessons. Create a wisdom practice. Next month, we're talking about being green and eco-friendly. Go out, clear your clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. When you clear your clutter, you can share your gifts with the world. Sign up for our free newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. If you've enjoyed Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, please rate, review, and share us.